any story that has God in it is a powerful, powerful story. My doctor had said that you cannot have children. A few months, I find out that I'm expecting, and my doctor and his nurse was outside his office waiting for me. And he said, I don't know what to tell you. I can't explain it. You're still pregnant. Literally 1 minute changed our life.
He has decided I need help. I need it twice.
Can I hear that one more?
You may not be as powerful together because you represent a completion. And when something is complete, it is much more powerful than if it's incomplete. And so I am much better when I have her with me.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
Hi, Wendy. I'm Todd Isburner.
Yes, hi. I know who you are.
So, Wendy, you know how some couples,
they like to finish each other's sentences.
Oh, my goodness. There you go. It's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh, they do. See?
They like to finish each other's sentences. Well, today, our guests actually finish each other's callings. Their story is a very powerful reminder that God can use you at any stage in life. And sometimes, here's what's really cool. He'll bring two stories together for an even greater impact.
Yes, we have the pleasure and the joy of speaking with Joe and Tamara Battaglia, and they are just an inspiring couple. You're going to love them. They are so much fun, and you're going to hear how they've been living out their faith just really boldly with their media, their ministry, and in their marriage. And let's just say that their journey is anything but boring.
Yeah, you'll find out. From national media projects to heartfelt ministry, Joe and Tamara, they have got wisdom, and you're going to hear that. And they've got wit, and they've also got some kind of wild God stories to share as well. So before we dive in, let us introduce you to the Battaglias.
Yes. Yeah, so Tamara Hester Battaglia is a devoted wife, global traveler, and author who has spent nearly two decades sharing God's love around the world through her work as a flight attendant. She's the author of the new devotional called Written in Heaven, His Story, Our Lives, a 40-day devotional.
Which is really, really good, by the way.
Yes, it is. It is. And is designed to help believers recognize God's presence and purpose, even in life's valleys. And today, she and her husband, Joe, they live in Franklin, Tennessee. Together, they're championing faith, family, and creative ministry as they encourage others to trust God's unfolding story.
Now, Joe, he is one of a kind. Let me just tell you right now, I've known him for quite a few years.
We're both great.
He's a veteran broadcaster. That's how we met years ago. He's
that says enough right there.
Well, exactly.
You guys are all characters.
It'll come out. Well, he's also a best-selling author, and he's the founder and president of Renaissance Communications. That's the company behind the nationally syndicated faith radio program, Keep the Faith, one of my all-time favorites. Now, before launching Renaissance, Joe spent decades in Christian radio leadership, and he was active on the board of Gospel Music Association and many, many other boards. So he's helped shape many, people don't know this, but Joe has helped shape many faith-based media outreaches. He's promoted blockbuster Christian films. He's authored books, including The Politically Incorrect Jesus, which was one of my favorites. And he's got this journalistic background. So when you listen to him and you read his work, you'll kind of get a feel for that, especially with the Jersey accent. He's got this passion for biblical truth. And Joe is now using his voice and his platforms to champion faith, family, and community across the country.
Enjoy the show. Well, welcome Joe and Tamara Battaglia, let's say that one correctly, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are so excited to have you.
We are so happy to be here.
Yes.
Hey, we've got some exciting things to talk about. Seriously, you have to just put some time aside to listen or watch this podcast because you're going to be inspired. You're going to laugh. Who knows? You might even cry. I mean, you know, it could go that direction. But Joe, I just want to start with you for a minute because Joe and I have known each other for umpteen years and we go back a ways. And many people may not know, those who are listening to our show, that Joe Battaglia is a media mogul, and I kid you not, he has worked on more projects than you could count, probably a lot of them in our sort of household familiar names for you, whether it be radio shows or books or films or concerts or special projects. But what I love about Joe is that he got his start in New York. He's got that great accent. Well,
that wasn't a New York accent.
I know
accent.
That wasn't. We'll let him do the real accent. New York.
That was pretty lame, Tom.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you, Joe. I think so, too.
I'm so intimidated by your accent. Because you actually started in radio, can I say the year? 1992, I think I've got that right?
No, that's when I started my company.
Oh, you started radio before then?
1974.
Oh, you've been around a while.
Well, you knew that. Yeah. That was when you started. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. So WWDJ was just one of those, you know, hallmark icon radio stations that you worked with. Got a lot of good stuff there. But then you moved over into starting your own company. And that's when all these projects started to go. And you were helping Christian Radio, which is kind of just all new then, really grow. And you've got some great stories about all the stations that you've helped. The projects that you led, the leadership roles that you've had in Christian Radio and other media organizations. So I just want our listeners to understand that you have had a huge impact in Christian media, which has impacted a lot of us who are listening and watching.
And right next to you, before you interject, is your beautiful wife, Tamara. And it is a delight to have you. And it's exciting because you have a new devotional out called Written in Heaven. And it's already touching people so deeply. I mean, Todd and I have read numerous stories already, and it's just kind of those jaw-dropping, wow stories, and it's just beautiful. And so I just love how God really writes our stories, and just every page of our lives is an opportunity to see him at work. So
we're gonna get into all that, and it's sort of like a chicken soup of the soul, only a much better version of it, the stories that you've written about. Okay, let's start here, because actually we could spend like an hour with each of you on your stories, but let's go next to how in the world the two of you met, because you talk about
we want their breakthrough, real breakthrough,
you know,
story.
I think we should have them.
I think we're going to have to start this all over, because, you know, Todd said, let's go in this order, and he's not going in this order.
I'm just following Wendy's lead. That's the way I stay out of trouble.
Oh, yeah, this is so funny. We want your breakthrough story, your Jesus breakthrough story. So let's start with Joe first, since we talked with you first. And I know our listeners are always interested in our Jesus stories.
Sure. Well, thank you guys for allowing us to have this privilege of being with you and your audience. It's just great to be with friends. And so my story starts many years ago while I was a student at Boston University, back in the late 60s, early 70s, where I came to Christ through the ministry of Campus Crusade. I'm just another one of those young college students that they met and were able to lead to Christ. And it was the beginning of everything I have today. And so when I graduated, I'm actually a journalist by training and degree. So I came back home to the New York area, North Jersey, where I lived with my family, and started the first Christian magazine for New York back in 1973. And it was something for the entire metropolitan area. My motto at that time was, let's defeat the Elijah syndrome, where he landed under that juniper tree saying, I'm the only one left, when in fact, there are 10,000 who have not bowed to Baal. And so a year after I started the magazine, WWDJ Radio, which was my favorite rock station back then, switched to a gospel format. Nobody there was a Christian. The ownership were not Christians. They did it because after researching the radio market, they decided they could make more money selling program time than they could selling spot commercials playing pop music, going up against the bigger stations in New York, ABC, NBC. So, I did a story on the switch. I called it From Rock to the Solid Rock, and brought it back. I had interviewed the general manager, who was Jewish. And he called me several days later and wanted to buy me lunch, and there offered me the job as their token Christian salesperson.
Token.
And that's how I got into broadcasting.
Amazing. Wow.
Could you see God's hand in that while this was all transpiring? Were you seeing how he was moving the pieces of the puzzle in the right places?
We never see that until we look back.
Yeah, hindsight.
Right. All I saw was that this could be God's leading as I prayed about doing this, because I wasn't making any money with my magazine yet. And I figured, well, maybe I'll do this for a little bit until the magazine took hold. And then lo and behold, I go to my first NRB the following year, my first GMA event, and God began to lead in that area, and my entire career stems from that decision, which again, as I've said, nothing that I have done in my career has been planned. It has been providential. So that's my initial story.
Love that.
I love it. God ordained, and it all started with Campus Crusade for Christ. So that's incredible. And Tamara, what is your big Jesus breakthrough story?
Well, I came to know Christ at the age of 12. My family was not, they were not Christians. I had a neighbor that invited me to church. And after going for probably a year, I accepted Christ and didn't know it would be the best decision I've ever made in my life. And now I'm 65. And so we've walked together for 54 years. And I've just seen, it's so sweet now to go back and look at all the times that the Lord provided for me, protected me, has restored me many times, the prayers that he has answered through my life. And it's just been such a love relationship. I just love him more and more every day because he has just been so good to me, so gracious to me. And then he gave me Joe,
the big surprise.
I was a second best decision in her life.
Yes,
right.
Okay.
I was going to say that, but you said it. That's good. And I love that, Tamara, because first of all, you don't look 65, sister. You're doing something right. And secondly, he's just so sweet the more we walk with him. So.
Yeah, so let's find out about just how God brought the two of you together, because I think,
I've read providential.
It, and it is a fascinating story. So I don't know who wants to lead out on it, but help each other tell the story.
I'll start, and then we'll go back and forth on this. Basically, I was producing an event for Kathy Lee Gifford, who's been a longtime friend of mine, and it was in Nashville. And it was going to be at the Ryman Auditorium. But the night before, we were going to have a dinner, really, for the board of this organization. And it was only open to the board and their family and guests and so forth. But then...
And I had, I watched Kathy Lee on the Today Show, and she spoke about this event in Nashville. I got two tickets for the Ryman. I've always heard about the Ryman. And I wanted to go to the Ryman. And I started researching the other people singing that night. Now, I knew Nicole C. Mullen was going to be there, and she was going to sing The God Who Sees. And it is a phenomenal song. If you've never heard it, you know, look into it, because it is one of the most beautiful songs written, and Kathy Lee wrote it. And then Nicole
sang. I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorites. Anyway, I was looking at who else was singing that night, and this other event came up, which was the board dinner, and I bought a ticket to that, and immediately they called me, and they said, how did you get this ticket? And I said, I don't really know. I was online, and I couldn't really explain myself. I was like, well, I was looking up the event, and they said, well, we were just curious, you know, how you got this ticket. And they didn't explain to me why they were curious. They just said, you know, well, we just want to thank you for buying this ticket. Wow. And I had no idea that really I shouldn't have been there at all. And then I ended up, I was only going by myself. And then I called them at the last minute. My sister, another friend was supposed to go with me. This is one of the important moments in the story. I had a best friend that was going to go with me, and she was unable to go. And my sister decided to go with me. And I called the event to see if I could bring her to the dinner. And they said, sure. So she is really the reason that I, other than the Lord was there, but she's the reason I met him.
So, yeah, I bring Kathy to the event and usher her to the back door where the head guy, you know, was going to usher her in. And so he took her in and then shut the door in my face.
Well, probably not the first time that's happened, Joe.
Yeah, that's right. But this was truly providential. The other was probably just because I'm from Jersey.
Right.
And so I said, all right, fine. I'll just go wait online like everybody else. And so I did. I was waiting online and her sister was in front of me and just began talking to me because she's very friendly. And then Tammy comes over and that's when I am introduced to her. And then the dinner happens, right? And so at the end, everybody's leaving. And I walk out to where my car is right outside the door. And she and her sister are standing there waiting for an Uber. And I say, ladies, may I drive you to your hotel here in Nashville?
Isn't that suave?
And says,
yeah. I said, no.
No.
The reason why I said no.
Okay.
Uber was supposed to be there in 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Literally 1 minute changed our life. And I didn't want to cancel because I didn't want to be charged for the Uber. But then also I felt bad for the Uber driver that he was going to show up. And then, you know, he showed up for nothing. So that was the primary reason. And then, you know, I wasn't real sure about this man.
Yeah. And so I ask her again, you know what? He won't mind. He'll understand. Can I drive you? And she once again says,
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Okay.
And in a Holy Spirit-led moment that followed.
Our Jersey
moment. I reach over her right shoulder and cancel the Uber on her iPhone.
Joe doesn't take no for an answer.
No, he does not.
Now, that was pretty forward of me, I know. And Tammy turns around, looks at me, and what did you think?
I was speechless.
I guess. Like,
you didn't know what to think. Yeah, like, who's this guy? Why is he doing this?
I guess I'm going, you know, the best part about the story is that, you know, after we started, we were dating and then we got married, he really doesn't know even how to order an Uber. So,
but he knows how to cancel one.
It had to be the Holy Spirit.
Oh, right, right. That's so funny.
Wow. Okay. So, Joe, why were you so assertive? I mean, had you already felt the connection? Were you sensing God's leading? What was the deal?
No. He was just pretty.
He was just being nice.
I think as backstories, just so people know, my first wife passed away in 2018. And you know that, Todd. And so I wasn't really looking. This, when I say something just possessed me, we may not be too far from that because that was very forward of me. Mm. I'm not usually that forward and assertive. And so I really think that God was orchestrating this whole thing.
Yeah.
And we joke about saying that the Holy Spirit prompted me, or was it my Jersey panache? I don't know.
Well, when did the two of you really, you know, decide, okay, God
There's
is on
connection.
The move here with us as a couple. How did that happen?
Well, the Lord gave us another, the night of the Ryman was the following night. So that was another opportunity for us to get to know each other. And I happened to have an extra ticket and he was sitting behind me, few rows back. And I said, well, we saw each other before the Ryman. And I said, you know, you want to sit with me? And he said, sure. And then I laugh now because he knew almost everybody in the Ryman that night. He could have sat with anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so nobody was as cute as you. Uh-huh.
That's right. That's goes. Right. Well, there's so many guide winks within the story, right? And you see that, his hand on it, and just how he orchestrates all the good things in your life, and bringing you two together is one of those good things. But I love it. Thank you for sharing just how y'all have connected, and it's just so sweet. And
got a buzzer because as I've known Joe, yes. I'm just so glad for Tamara.
Yeah,
because you could be such, I mean, you have such a sweetness about you. Not that Joe doesn't. He has a sweetness. It's just disguised as something else.
And we don't know Tamara well enough yet to.
But you can tell from her book, which we're going to get into next.
Yes, we do. We want to talk about your book because it's Written in Heaven is the title. And it just feels like, you know, it's part of your own story, you know, and just sharing some of the intimacy with us is so special, and you've been through quite a lot with your life story. So I don't know if you want to touch a little bit on maybe the story that you included in the devotional as well, because it's very touching on so many levels.
Sure. Before I met Joe, I was married 24 years. And so me and my first husband, we got married, and right after we got married, I found out I was not, a doctor had said, you know, that you cannot have children. And my whole growing up years, I was always, I loved kids. And so it was a deep heartbreak for me to have a doctor say this to me. However, my faith in God was, if God wants me to have a baby, I will. And I actually told the doctor that at the time. Then fast forward a few years, and they, you know, did procedures, and we tried different things, and I was not able to get pregnant. And then my doctor just kind of gave me, he just said, there's nothing more we can do. We've done everything. And I truly, at that point, thought I had given it to the Lord. And when he told me that for the final time, I remember just laying on my bed, just crying my eyes out, and just said, God, I can't handle this. But I also knew in my heart that I loved kids so deeply that if God wanted me to adopt children, I would do that, you know, because I knew how much I loved kids. So fast forward a few months, and I find out that I'm expecting, and I go for my checkup, my first OBGYN checkup, and I have a miscarriage, and I had it there at the doctor's office, and the doctor said, well, we need to do a D&C, and he proceeded to get an operating room. There was no operating rooms available. They also had to wait for my husband to get there before they took me in. So they were waiting for a room for me. And he said, well, let's do an ultrasound just to see, you know, what's going on. I did the ultrasound, and I came back, and my doctor and his nurse was outside his office waiting for me. And he said, I don't know what to tell you. I can't explain it. You're still pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I knew in that moment, you know, that God was answering my prayers.
Yes, yes.
And the doctor was just in shock. He just was in shock. So I fast forward. I had her at 8 months, and her name is Ashley, and she is now an OBGYN.
Wow.
So cool.
Yeah. And then my second daughter, at 5.5 months, I was again going to my OBGYN appointment and started having issues. And he said, you're going to have this baby in the next 2 days. Mm. He said, you need to plan for a funeral. And they, at that time, took me by gurney to the hospital, which was across the street. And just said, you know, you'll be here for 2 days and, you know, you'll have the baby. And so I called my pastor, and my pastor came up, and I said, you know, they're saying I need to plan for a funeral. And with tears. We both had just, you know, me and my husband and him, we just had these big tears in our eyes. And at that moment, the girl comes in to do an ultrasound or the heartbeat. And when she does it, I just thought, I can't even plan a funeral. I still hear a heartbeat. And I told my pastor at that moment, I said, we can't do this. We just can't. And fast forward 3 weeks, I end up having her at 5.5 months. She was 25 weeks. And that was 1986. Back then, they didn't save these babies most of the time. She had just turned 25 weeks that day. A week before, they would not have even attempted to save her.
Wow.
They said, if she's crying, we will do our best. But if she's not, you know, there's nothing we can do. They also were preparing me for the absolute worst. They said she would be blind. She would have many, many issues, special needs, disabilities. And they were preparing me for all that, too. And so I had 3 weeks in the hospital where I was not, I couldn't even get out of the bed. They wouldn't even let me out of the bed. So I was there for 3 weeks in this bed. So I had a lot of time to pray to the Lord. And I was so numb, all I could do was pray God's will. And sometimes I had to pray it over and over and over again until I truly felt like I had given it to the Lord and that I meant that whatever He wants to happen, you know, whether He wants her to live this life or whether He wants to take her home and be in the arms of Jesus, whatever He wanted, I would be good with. And it was, I mean, sometimes I can remember I would pray it 20 times just because I wanted to be sincere and I wanted to be honest with the Lord. And the day she was born, I felt just this immense peace, that the peace that passes all understanding on me. And I knew that I was in God's will, and no matter what happened, He was going to, it was His will. And the moment that she was born, she started crying. And I knew in that moment that God had answered the first prayer and the first miracle, that she was actually crying. And they, unfortunately, they had to sedate her more because she was crying. That happened. And then we had 3 or 4 months of watching God work and seeing doctors and nurses and physical therapists that were in awe of what God was doing. They would say, we can't explain it. And some were Christians, but some were not. And years later, still friends with some of them, they would say, we would look at her and we just couldn't understand, you know, how well she did.
Yeah.
But I knew it was the prayers of my friends and my family and my prayers and just my heart prayers. And the Lord just took all of them and answered each one.
It's so powerful.
Wow.
So beautiful. And I think about just the miraculous in both of your daughters'
big
stories
time.
And just how the power of prayer, the power of belief, and the power of dismissing what is spoken over you, and how God resurrects the dead as far as the words that are spoken over you. And it's just beautiful. It's such a testimony to His grace and His resurrection story.
She is, and her family are missionaries in Buenos Aires.
Seriously. Praise the Lord.
That's of course. This is the bona fide miracle that God was interested in proving Himself.
Joy to pound and a half.
Unreal.
Man, that is just amazing.
Pound and a half.
And just think about the medical staff and how amazed they were and how God could
witness.
Have an opportunity to even, you know, work in their lives. So that's a story that's worth publishing. But you only spent about 2 pages on that story in your book. And you included all these other stories because somewhere along the line you recognize, well, there are other stories like mine that ought to be shared. I'm guessing that's maybe where Joe came into the picture. Like, how did you get the idea that I need to go get other people's stories and put them in a book?
Well, because Joe is so involved with Christian media, I would meet these ladies, you know, lunch, dinner, just out and about, and they would share their stories with me. And I would go home and I would just keep you know, thinking about their stories, and they were so moving, and I could recall the details of their stories, and I'd be so inspired and encouraged, and just, they would give me a faith boost sometimes for something that I was praying about, or, you know, I need to look into the Lord's word deeper, or, and there were a few that I didn't know them personally, but I had followed them through the years in their ministries. But we all need to share our stories, our God stories, with family and friends. And you just never know what people need to hear.
And not have shame around them.
Yeah. That story for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you just don't know how you can encourage people with your stories. And sometimes we may not think it's important or doesn't really matter, but any story that has God in it is a powerful, powerful story.
It offers healing for others that read it. I mean, just like all the stories in the Bible, right? We still are being ministered today by their stories. So it's the same with ours. And you've had women like Roma Downey, Karen Kingsbury, Priscilla Schreier, Sheila Walsh. I mean, the list goes on. Jen Godson, just some friends of mine, Kathleen Cook. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know her. So it's so fun to see their input as well in this, in written of heaven. So good.
Yeah, Joe, I was going to ask you. Oh, go ahead, Tamara.
The remarkable thing is, once the book was done, and I realized looking at everybody's story, each story was very unique to that person, but it was also almost every situation that we come across in life was in the book, from a divorce, people that had abortions, people that lost loved ones, cancer. There's so many things that we go through on it. You know, everyone is going through things, and we just don't realize it unless they share it with us.
So true.
It was remarkable that they were all, that God put almost every thing you can imagine in that book.
Joe, you've collaborated with a lot of the women that are authors in that book, and I'm just curious, what do you think their contributions brought to the heart of this book?
Well, because I know these people rather well, because you work with them, and you see the other side of all these celebrity types.
Yeah,
it is not a celebrity that is interesting. It is the personal story that allows them to be who they are.
That's right.
And so it deepens your love and respect for them, particularly as women of faith, and the power that they possess, not because of who they are to the world, but because of what they are to God's kingdom.
That's right.
I think that helps you put much, much more in perspective. And as men, we need to recognize that our opportunity is to help raise up their arms at times so they can part the Red Sea in front of them, or fight the Amalekites, whichever you want to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good.
And so when Tammy told me the name written in heaven and what she would like to do, we approached my publisher at Broad Street, and I have 6 books that I've done. So I love writing, and I've been down this path, but she has never done that. She never knew she could even do that. And so my role was to hold up her arms so that God could then use her, give her the visibility and the opportunity to do what she is uniquely called to do and what he uniquely implanted into her heart.
That's sweet.
So that's the whole point. And I think as people, if we understood the covenant of marriage, that we are no longer two, but actually one, it's what I like to say is that it's the only place in the universe where plural is singular.
Good.
The opportunity we have to do for, you know, our spouse, and whatever we do it to ourselves as well.
Yeah, and it's like, how can we outserve one another, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so it was fun doing that. So I wanted her to realize that God can use her as well as he can use me, as well as he can use anybody who is willing and available. And we all understand that, but not everybody gets a chance to implement that in their lives. So I thought this would be a fun thing to do. And so I contacted all our friends. That was the easy part. You know, for many people, it would be the, well, how do I get a hold of these people? Well, that to me, God had prepared me and my relationships in order to help her.
Absolutely. Nothing's wasted.
Yeah, nothing is. And so she just sat back and relaxed and
and did nothing, huh?
I just had my hands up and he just...
Sure.
No, see, I love that, Joe. You know that, like, I mentor a lot of guys, and I don't know that I've ever used the illustration quite like that, like hold up her arms and help her fight the Amalekites. I like that a lot, and I think you need to write a book about that so guys can be challenged. And I'm serious when I say, I mean, we overlook the opportunities as husbands and men to really uplift our wives and women who need our support and our help and our strength, our leading and our guidance, not our control. And you've modeled that well. So thank you for bringing such great conviction to us who are men who are listening and challenge. That is our challenge for today. Hold up her arms.
That's good. That's good. I wanted to ask you, one of the themes of your book, there's just nothing that's kind of random. And God is in every moment of each of these writings, even the painful ones. And so how does someone begin to really see their own challenges or delays through the lens of those that have written their stories and those that you collected within Written in Heaven? Because some people listening are like, you know, but my story's so different. But I don't know that I could ever experience X, Y, Z. What would you say to them?
Well, we all go through seasons in our life where sometimes we just don't think God hears us. He doesn't see us. When is this? How long is this going to last? It may be a relationship that we're dealing with that has ended, or an illness that seems like that, you know, God's not hearing our prayers. I guess I don't really know. All I can really say is that the Lord is there and he sees you. He sees what you're going through. And one of the most powerful things that I've done is I just pray the scripture back to him and claim it.
Remind him. Yeah.
And just over and over and over again. And I have found that I get a lot of breakthroughs that way. And then I also know I'm praying what God wants to hear, his word, and that I'm trusting him. What he says in his word, I believe. And you know, this too shall pass. Sometimes that sounds kind of like, oh, well, I don't think it'll pass. But most of the time, what we go through in life, it is just a season in our life and it will pass.
Yeah.
And today may be a really hard day and a day that you just don't think you can see tomorrow. But just look up. One of the things that I did for many years, I was single for 17 years after my divorce, and the loneliness was so hard for me, especially after having a family and going through that part of my life. Loneliness is crippling for people.
It's an epidemic right now.
Yeah. And I found that if I turned on worship music, or turned up my favorite song and just sang as loud as I could to the Lord,
I love that.
I found that my loneliness went away because I was worshiping him and I was praising him. And it's hard to do when you're in those hard spots, when you feel hopeless, or that no one sees what you're going through, but God sees what you're going through. And he hears not only the prayers you speak to him, but he hears your heart prayers as well.
So beautiful. So good.
so much. He just loves you so much, whatever you're going through.
You are such an encourager. And everything you're saying is evidenced in the stories in those books, 40 stories, 40 day devotional. And they're easy reads, they're short reads, but they're powerful stories. And I think those of us who go through painful, we all go through painful times, we're always looking for some sort of hope or encouragement to help get us through. And when you read stories like are written in your book, you get tremendous faith boosting, you know, hope that can sort of give evidence to the fact that God is there. Just like you said, God is there and he's not going to abandon you.
And I'm kind of a devotional junkie, so I'm excited about your book because I'm always looking for the next devotional, because that's usually how I start my morning and then get into God's word after that. So,
and we want everybody to run out and get it. Yes. Mine didn't arrive.
Let's see
on
the
time.
Cover. Yeah.
This is the cover.
Yeah, there's beautiful.
Let me see if I can. This is some of the women that are in it: Roma Downey, Karen Kingsbury, Priscilla Shire, Sheila Walsh, Lisa Robertson, Jen Lilly, Nicole Crank, Lauren Green. And beautiful. Each author wrote their own story, their prayer, their mission statement, and their bio. And one of the things I would really love to encourage people is to look up each author and what they're doing right for the kingdom, because many of them have incredible books and ministries, and you can just learn so much about them. And there's about four or five that have devotionals right now that have just come out in the last 6 months. Jen Lilly just came out with one called Wake Up Your Faith. And it's wonderful. Wonderful.
I love it. You've included scriptures and prayers and their bios, and they've all written their own stories. Really want people to go out and get that book.
It'll make a great gift no matter what time of year.
So I'm guessing honestly, it's available anywhere: Amazon, Barnes and Noble,
it is
all the bookstores.
Available on Amazon.com, ChristianBook.books.
Okay. Well, CBD Christian.
.com.
We'll put all that in the show notes, but I'm just thinking if somebody's in a hurry, like right now, I want to go get that book like right now.
Amazon.
Just get on Amazon. Yeah, you can get it there. Hey, let's just talk just briefly about the two of you. It looks like it's such a great partnership in more ways than one, and that God deliberately brought you together so that you could have.
Look at them smiling at each other.
So you could
aren't
have
cute?
Even
partner.
Even, well, Joe, you were
howdy too.
Here's the deal. So Joe is already making a dent, but now that Tamara's in his life,
two are better than one.
Yeah. So what do you think God is doing in the fact that he brought you together? He's blended your stories together. It seems like he's giving you an assurance of your mission and your calling together. What does that look like for you?
I think anytime God brings people together, there is a reason. And so we're in that season of reason, as I call it. What is it that we're supposed to do? That is my prayer every day. So I want to do what I'm supposed to be doing. I have done so much, as you've alluded to previously, Todd. I could, at my age, most guys are just kind of sitting back and,
Playing golf.
I don't play. So I really am looking for the next reinvention. God cannot do anything with somebody that does nothing.
Yeah.
And so you can't steer that proverbial parked car. And so I want to be steered. Continually, and he has decided I need help. I need to read it twice.
Can I hear that one more?
It's being recorded. I'll let you hear it all the time.
I need help. That's what Joe said. But,
I tell people that I'm needed to be completed twice, and that you are the completer. And so I'm just looking to see what that is that we do together. This is the start. Because she didn't think she could do this. And I want to encourage people who don't think they can do something in a new season in their life.
Come
on.
There's nothing that God can't use. There's no one that God can't use. You just have to believe that you are unique in that respect. And what is it that you think God can do? So don't think about what you can't do. Pray toward the end of what you are able to do. And so I think for both of us, when my friends met her, they knew something was up.
Yeah.
Before we even made any announcements.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit goes before you.
Yeah,
it's true.
I always say that the spirit that you bring into something goes before you. And the person at the other end, when they receive it, they sense it. So you don't have to do anything, really, if God is in something. The Holy Spirit will go before you. People will hear that, sense it, however they're supposed to, and recognize it.
That's so good.
I think people are recognizing, as they do with you two guys. Mm. I think people recognize that. Look what you're doing together. You might not do that individually. You may not be as powerful together because you represent a completion. And when something is complete, it is much more powerful than if it's incomplete, right?
Yeah.
It only makes sense. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we are going to do together that I couldn't do separately, neither could she.
We are looking forward to that as well.
That builds anticipation, I think, for any couples who are, you know, wanting God to use them, but even greater to be used as a couple together. I just love that. Joe, you've got a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience from all your years and everything you've been through, and you've got a lot of books. And it sounds like some of the things you were talking about might even be covered in some of your books.
We will put those in the show notes
as well. Yeah, people wanted to go find your books. Where's the first place to go?
Well, the same thing. I have my personal website, joebattaglia.com.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what we'll put in the show notes.
That's where I have my books there. So you could go there and see what I have. You can read some of the op-eds I've written, and articles and things like that.
And tell them what you're working on now with the business.
Yes, come on.
Yeah,
come
what you're working on. Camera.
Well, the big project is the Business Bible.
What?
Tell me more.
What is that about?
Well, that's a whole nother
podcast.
Okay.
That's a whole nother podcast it would probably be the most incredible product out there. But a friend and I sat down he was working on it 2 years, former Wall Street guy who wanted answers from scripture because the church didn't have any during the downturn in 08, 09, and Wall Street had no answers. But scripture has tons of answers. So he scoured all 31,000 verses of scripture to find all the biblical principles that have to do with work.
Wow.
And put them in Wall Street language.
Wow.
Ooh, I can't wait.
All the time. This one is the NASB version. Think topical Bible, study Bible. But he found 100 principles, everything from angel investing, and philanthropy and generosity and, you know, things that are all affiliated with the workplace. I'm the editor of that with him, and we self-published, which was an incredible deal. The best Bible designer in the world in Denmark, who flew to New York and met with us and created an entirely separate new font for this particular Bible.
My goodness.
So yeah, you can go online, businessbible.com, and see it. The leather is one of the finest, softest pieces of leather I've ever felt. It is truly a remarkable product. So that is what, you know, big project for me this coming year, as well as, you know, more movie stuff and more other stuff that I do.
You're just so boring.
I love the fact that you've got sort of your individual projects, but you're bringing them together in a unified mission. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love that about you guys.
That's the fun thing is that I can see her fulfilled.
That's right, both of you. Well, I want to kind of just, we've been talking for a while and we could probably talk for hours and hours because y'all are so fun and so interesting. But I just want to ask just a couple personal fun questions. And it's just kind of what is something that maybe someone doesn't know about you? Maybe it's a talent, a quirk, a habit. Do you have any quirks, Joe? A talent, a quirk, a habit? Yeah, you.
That most people don't know about
And Tamara,
you.
Each one of you.
Well, what would people like to know about me that is not evident?
Well, I don't know. Like, do you play the piccolo? Like, I don't know. What do you get?
We just, our love language is sarcasm. So
I told Doug Gary Chapman that he needed to include that.
And yeah, that's one of the love languages. Sarcasm.
No, actually, seriously, sarcasm is good.
But it has to be Christian sarcasm.
In New Jersey, particularly.
Oh, man.
And so, you know, I'm pretty much what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I just like to enjoy people and being with them. I just love what God does through us. I lie awake at night and chuckle on what God has enabled me to do. And so
I'd like to have Tamara just record the chuckling and that could go viral. That would be fun to listen to.
It's more like snoring.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between the two.
Chuckle, snore? Yeah.
I thought it was snoring, but I guess.
Well, no,
not.
It's actually chuckling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I like to write, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
I love to edit things. You know, I write about faith and culture, and I like news. I like assessing what is happening in God's thought on what we see around us in culture. I think it's important for believers to understand the times.
Yeah.
And if they can't actually do something on improving our culture around them, they can at least pray about what can be improved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of what I enjoy doing. I like thinking.
That's good.
I like
thinker.
Yeah. Laughing.
Yes. That's good.
With my wife. I love looking at her.
I think
you love
also
all the ways.
And I think at night, there are times where you are just.
We don't need to hear about this.
Okay. Thanking God. I was going to say, thanking God.
Yes.
At night. I don't know. Okay. So
all right, let's move on.
I want to hear what Tamara has to say.
Okay. Yeah. What's unusual?
Really? Well, I'm a flight attendant, so I love to travel. I just got back from Germany and Austria with my kids going through the Christmas markets.
Oh.
With a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, my grandgirls. And so that was fun. But I don't really have any. I love spending time with people and it's interesting. We both are probably our deepest love language is spending time with each other, but also spending time with our friends. And
quality time.
Quality time. QT. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I enjoy that.
Just so good. That. All right. Well, then we'll go ahead, Joe. What?
Always enjoyed closing down a place.
You're the life of the party and you bring the party to close. That's good.
Well, the only good thing about a party is that there are people there
that
you can actually engage.
True.
And so we really do have that love language of quality time. I don't think we spend enough quality time with each other. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fun to find people that you could find much more opportunity to get to know them. Because as you get to know others, you get to know yourself.
True.
Reasons we have so much fear in our culture today and anxiety is that we have opted out of spending quality time with people and we spend it on fake things like the internet.
Social media, and we actually think
that's communication and we actually think that's relationship. Well, I wrote a whole book about that called Unfriended, How to Find True Community in a Disconnected Culture. We just have opted out and believed the lie that we can get to know each other without being in each other's presence. And I think there are things that we miss if we don't understand that true communication and communion involves intersection and sacrifice and communion.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, so we have to sacrifice some way with each other to have true communion and communication. I think that's intrinsic to the very nature of God's presence in our lives, as he did, as Jesus did, We should model that. You know, the Good Samaritan is only good because he was actually on the road to meet people in order to exhibit that goodness. We can't stay in our homes and on the internet and expect that we're going to change anything.
So good. So I think, drop the mic on that one.
Yeah, I think Joe is saying party, party, party. It's time to party. It's time to get together.
Together.
Yeah, and make sure you do things together.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you are incomplete without the other one if we truly understand the covenant. And so I am much better when I have her with me. And then I don't have to explain it to her when I get home.
Yes, indeed.
You were there.
You guys are such delight. You really are. You're just a great couple that, you know, everybody'd like to hang with. That I do know. And we're looking forward to seeing what God has ahead, both for you as individuals, but even more so as a couple, because he obviously brought you together for a very powerful reason. And it's beginning to manifest. And that's really cool.
That's right.
And Joey, your next book needs to be to husbands and men on how to help hold up her arms and fight the Amalekites.
Yeah.
Amalekites. Say it right.
All right, fine. Okay. It's the Jewish way of saying it your way, I think. All right.
Okay, you guys, we appreciate you so much for coming on. Thank you for your heart and writing your devotional written in heaven. And I'm just so, it's writings in heaven. Written in heaven?
Written in heaven.
Writings written. Yes, please hold it up for me. This has been a long interview. I'm like, what's the name of it? Okay, so Written in Heaven. But thank you so much for your dedication and your devotion. And we can't wait to hear more from both of you together as God leads. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
So enjoyed it.
Yeah,
blessings.
Sure. Fun.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.